Well, this morning, turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 13 and to verses 45 and 46. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 45. Where we have these words, this remarkable parable of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Well, it is an exceedingly short parable, exceptionally short, one of the shortest that our Saviour gives to us. But it is at the same time very profound and very striking. It is an amazing parable, partly because it pictures each one of us as merchants, as traders. We are pictured in the merchant man, the trader here, who goes about seeking goodly pearls. It used to be said that England is a nation of shopkeepers. I don't know to what extent that is true today, but maybe in a way for all of us, we are more involved in personal trade than we would have been a generation or two ago. Who here hasn't got an eBay account? And on that eBay account, perhaps you're someone who principally buys, but many will have sold something on eBay. And so we know what it is to trade, to purchase, to sell, and to seek to make a profit. And that's how we're pictured here. It's a remarkable thing. The search, looking for goodly pearls, the purchase, and seeking, if at all possible, for that which we buy, for that which we trade in, to bring us a profit. So we're going to ask ourselves very simply this morning, as we look at this parable together, what sort of people we are as traders. How does this picture us? A couple of things that I say right at the very outset about trading. Traders have to be optimistic. If you're involved in trading, you have to be optimistic. You have to believe that in the future there is coming a time when you're going to be able to make a very comfortable living from that in which you're trading. And it may be that temporarily you're going through a season where things are against you, and a deal or something that you're trading in for the time being leaves you making a loss. But as a trader, you have to say to yourself, the next deal, the next thing that I buy and sell, that's the thing that is going to make me the big amount of money. What a picture that is of ourselves. And we go through life, and as I hope to show you, we are trading, we are purchasing, seeking things. We lay out costs for those things, and we look to those to bring us peace and satisfaction, to bring us meaning and purpose in our lives, to give us that deep inner satisfaction, to give us peace in our conscience and peace with our God. And it may be from time to time, as we think about our lives, we become aware that the things that we've given ourselves to don't really fulfill their promise. And we can see that these things cost us, and they injure us, and they cause us loss. But you know, we have to be optimistic. We have to say, but the next thing that I seek after, surely that's the thing that is going to answer all the deep inner needs of my being and my soul. Traders also have to be exceedingly busy. If you're involved in running a business, you can't relax, you can't take your foot off the pedal, you've got to be given to that trade. All your time and attention is given to how you can make that trade succeed, how you can make it work, how it can, for you, provide the income that you need to support yourself and those who are dependent upon you. And that's a picture too of our lives. We have to be busy. I know who of us, when we have moments to reflect, don't think that we have to give ourselves incessantly to the things of this world. We have to pursue these things relentlessly, chasing this mirage of satisfaction and peace in our conscience. But every trader from time to time does need those moments of quiet reflection. Those moments, perhaps, when they go into their warehouse and they evaluate their stock. What am I worth? Has all the effort and the industry and the pain through which I've gone through, has it been really worthwhile? What am I worth? And as we come this morning and we consider this parable, it's as though, as individuals, we're taking a moment or two to reflect upon our policy for living, to take stock of our lives, and to ask those difficult, those hard questions. What am I worth? Is all the energy and effort that I put into my life, is it really accomplishing anything? Is it achieving that which I am searching after? As we look at this parable, I hope you don't think I'm being fanciful, but I want to trace within it four different levels of trader. Four different levels of trader. There's only one man. And yet as we look at the parable together, we can see that there are different levels of trading. We're told in verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. This trader, this merchant man, he went about looking for pearls, looking for things of great value. But even as at the outset, as we consider this parable, surely we have to come to terms with the fact that away from our God, unforgiven, unblessed by him with the salvation of our souls and the eternal life promised in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not seeking pearls, goodly pearls at all. We've given ourselves over to seek things that are valueless, meaningless, trinkets, shiny things, the things that this world has to offer. We're not even seeking those things which are of value. Sorry to use an illustration from contemporary culture, but perhaps some of you here will have seen on the television those programs where one of the characters is a market trader. Del Boy in Only Fools and Horses. Arthur Daly in Minder. Those men who they go out and they buy worthless things, and they buy them in quantity. And these things break, and they never make a profit. They just cumber the warehouse. They're in the way. And this is the sort of picture that we must have of ourselves before we come to know our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that we commit ourselves to, the things that we engage ourselves in and go after in this world are nothing more than the worthless, cheap, fake items that will only break in our hands and are utterly worthless in the long term. What is it that we go after if we're outside of the kingdom of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who here has made money and financial security the great aim in your life? Oh, if only I could be comfortably off. If only I could be wealthy enough so that I have all the comforts that I can need. I'll be happy with that. If only I can have riches or a measure of riches, that will buy me everything that I need, and then I'll be happy. But time after time, don't we see in the newspapers of those who are celebrities, those who have fabulous wealth and can command anything, they can have anything that their heart wishes or desires for, but feeling empty, lonely, disappointed, realizing that these things in and of themselves are completely empty. Ordinary members of the public who buy a lottery ticket and then win fabulous wealth, and they think that this is their pathway to happiness, only discover that it separates them from friends, it makes them a very lonely people. And time after time we see that riches, wealth, even being comfortably well off as an aim, as an objective, is empty and cannot fulfill the deepest needs of our souls. What about possessions? owning the latest gadget. There are many young people here, and you'll be among your school friends. They'll have the latest gadget for whatever it happens to be, and maybe your desire to have that gadget, and you'll pester your parents to get it. And maybe after a period of time, you'll get it. And for a moment, it seems as though you've got the very thing that is going to make you happy, only to discover that it can't really satisfy you. And the next gadget comes out that supersedes the one that you have. And the thing that you strove for, the thing that you wanted so desperately, well, you have to fix your aim upon something else to take its place. And that's not only for young people, that's for us in adult generation too. We set our minds perhaps on achieving promotion at work, and we think that if we can only achieve this position in our company, that we will have made it. And we perhaps give our time and our energies to these things. And maybe for some, the possibility of even achieving the heights to which we aim. And we get there, and what do we discover? It's full of drudgery. It's full of commonplace things. And the position and the status that we thought to have, well, we realise it is only full of the very ordinary things. And we have to be committed, and we have to give of our time and our attention to these things, and they sap our capacity for deeper and more meaningful things. And whether we consider these things or pleasure and enjoyment, the great rush that people seek these days, and on the Lord's Day we see people, don't we, going out seeking to enjoy themselves, getting the buzz of doing those things that they feel are going to give them peace and satisfaction, well, these things are ultimately empty. Accomplishments, homes, qualifications, fame, even our looks. Some people look to these things for their ultimate satisfaction. But you know, these things are all empty. They're the things of this world. They cannot really fulfill and satisfy the deepest needs and cravings of our souls. But then we have to think, at what cost do I pursue these things? These things all take my time, and great quantities of time. They take my resources, financial resources, other resources. They take my emotional energy to pursue after them. So often they steal my character, and I have to compromise things that I know to be right and to be true in order to pursue the things that I set my heart on. I have to jettison and set aside the standards that I know from my youth have been taught me from the Word of God, and my character is undermined. And when I do take stock, what do I discover? This world's promises are never kept. Oh, it holds out for me the bright lights. It holds out to me the promise of great things to come. It holds out to me that this can replace the need to know peace with your God. But these promises are never kept. Disappointment after disappointment, as we realise that all that has been promised us is not what it really seemed. And those things that we thought we controlled, we suddenly become aware, have begun to control us. And we're driven, we're pushed along by our lusts and our passions. We're no longer in control of our lives, and we become debased, merely seeking to satisfy our, what I'm going to call, our animal appetites, rather than anything deeper than those things. Well, when we see our life in this way, we have to ask the question, if I was a shopkeeper, if I was a trader, and I had so many disappointments, would I continue? Surely I would sell up. I would abandon all hope that this business is going to ever make a genuine profit. And yet such is our optimism that this world can ultimately satisfy us, that we continue to go on seeking our satisfaction in the things of this world. Well, there's the first of the levels of trading, away from God, trading in worthless, meaningless things, the things of this world that ultimately disappoint. But we're told in the parable that this merchant man was seeking pearls. And pearls, well, they are valuable. Pearls, natural pearls, are relatively rare. It is said that you have to open about 10,000 shells before you'll find a shell that contains a natural pearl. But when you find a pearl, one of these natural pearls, or they are valuable and they have a great beauty. It's quite rare, even if you find a pearl, to find one that is perfectly spherical. But when you hold a pearl up to the light and you see the different colours, the iridescence of the nacre that makes up the pearl, well, they have tremendous beauty and they are wonderful. In the 19th century, a pearl was discovered that has come to be known as the Hope Pearl. It was roughly 5 centimetres long and almost 10 centimetres wide. It's held in the Museum of Natural History, and it's called the Hope Pearl because of someone who used to possess that pearl. In our day, pearls have become rather devalued because you know that it's possible, and most pearls that are currently seen are cultivated pearls. A piece of grit is artificially introduced into the shell, and around that grit, the pearl is formed. But natural pearls are much rarer. And you know, there's a second class of traders. I wonder if among us here there are some who are searching for pearls, who are looking for things which have a value and a beauty of their own. Let me suggest one or two to you. Who here has perhaps seen through the shallow things of this world? And you are looking for the pearl of an upright moral life. You want to be seen as somebody who, as you conduct yourself, there is that uprightness to your conduct and to your behaviour. You seek in every way possible to do that which is right. Well, there is value in that. That has value. It's like a pearl. It's rare to find. And yet it is a wonderful thing to see in someone a desire to live an upright moral life. Or perhaps the pearl that you're seeking is this: I want to live my life to make a difference to other people, so that in the things that I do, the way I live my life, I help others and I improve their lives. Again, there is value in that, and that's a wonderful aspiration to have, but it isn't everything. And it doesn't bring us into a relationship with our God. And it may be that others here, well, for you, the thing that you seek is to live an outwardly religious life. You are devout. You wouldn't think of missing an opportunity to come to worship God, to join with his people in services of worship. But that for you is the be-all and end-all. Just to be known as someone who is religious, someone who keeps up and maintains all correct observances. Well, these things are valuable. They are wonderful in themselves. But the parable suggests to us that these are nothing by comparison to seeking the very best of pearls. And so thirdly, we come to what's actually told us of this merchant man. That he went about seeking goodly pearls, the very best of pearls. Oh, he knew pearls. He'd seen many pearls in his travels. He had a collection of pearls, perhaps, and some of great value. And we thought of the parallel for ourselves, things that have a value in and of themselves, but aren't everything. And it may be that we too are seeking things that are deeper, things that are more valuable, even than living an upright moral life, doing good to others, being outwardly religious. What may we be seeking? What are the things, the goodly pearls that some of us here may be seeking? Is there someone here? And you become aware of your sin and your distance from your God. And for you, you seek the goodly pearl of the forgiveness of your sins. Oh, if only I could have my sins forgiven. If only I could be conscious that they had been pardoned. If only I could have peace in my conscience. What goodly pearls these things are. What wonderful things. They are extremely valuable to possess. Is there someone here? And as you've come into church this morning, the goodly pearl that you seek is certainty that when your life comes to an end, that you'll go to heaven. Or the thought of being condemned by God to an eternity away from him in hell is something that fills you with fear. And your great desire is the goodly pearl of being certain that at the end of life, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to that wonderful place, the place of peace and joy and happiness, a place of great wonders and glory and tremendous and things that are beyond our powers fully to understand and comprehend. Oh, that's a goodly pearl. That's a wonderful thing to have in your mind. But you know, although that is an advance even on the pearls of which we've spoken, of living an upright moral life, seeking to do good to others, being devout and religious in our observances, although those things are transcend and are of much greater value than even those things that we've considered before, this parable tells us that is as nothing compared to the fourth level at which we may look at this parable. Because this trader, he was looking for goodly pearls, the best pearls, the most beautiful, the most valuable. But even he wasn't prepared for an encounter with a pearl so beautiful, so wonderful, so amazing, of such value that it transcended everything that he had ever seen before. And I imagine in my mind's eye, as he saw this pearl, that he was shocked and surprised that such a pearl existed that put all else into the shadows. And that's the great goal this morning in seeking to bring each one of us to recognize that when we see in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the pearl of great price, all else pales into insignificance compared to the desire that is planted in our hearts to want him, to desire him for his beauty, for his value, for all that comes with him. And when we hear the gospel, we come to church and we hear the gospel, these things may be very familiar to us. But as we have unfolded before us something of the loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ, suddenly we're gripped. Suddenly everything else is as nothing besides this great desire that forms in our hearts, I must have Jesus Christ. All else is as nothing compared to having Jesus Christ. And we're surprised that it should be in a person, that it should be in a person who walked this earth 2,000 years ago, that we should find the great goal of our lives fully and completely satisfied. But what a picture this is. You see, we've spoken of pearls and their value. Oh, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, we see someone who is of infinite value. However you look at a pearl, you see the shimmering light and the wonderful colours as light is reflected and refracted from that pearl. Well, look at Christ as he is revealed in the scripture. Look at him from any direction, and what do you see? Beauty and perfection of character. Wonders of character and righteousness, unexampled, not seen, not capable of being seen in any other human being. Such is the value and loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We spoke of natural pearls being quite rare. Well, the pearl of great price is not only rare, he is unique. There is no other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect, unblemished, spotless, pure in every facet of his character and of his ways. Or if only I could summon up words somehow to describe the Lord Jesus Christ in all the beauty of his character and the loveliness of his ways. That's the great goal of the gospel preacher, to set before you Jesus Christ, the only hope of your soul, in such a way as you feel compelled to desire him and to desire him above all else. Or the value of Christ, both in his character, but also in what he endured, so that men and women, boys and girls, can be saved from their sins. Think of Christ, blissfully happy in the realms of glory, and yet ready to lay aside for a time his glory, to come into this world, to be humbled even in his birth, to live a life of relative obscurity, and then during the course of his ministry to endure, as the scriptures say, the contradiction of sinners, to go about seeking to do good and to bless those around him, to speak gracious words, to perform wonderful miracles, all for it to be rejected and turned back against him, to be taken to that place where there was a mock trial, a trial where justice was laid aside. But he went through that so that he could go to that cross, so that God the Father would punish him in the place of all those that would come to him for pardon and forgiveness. And the value of Christ's sacrifice upon the cross is so immense that it paid the penalty for millions, billions who would be saved. Oh, what a Saviour we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. How amazing it should be. Have you seen him? Are you conscious of who he is and all that he has done? Are you amazed and astonished, and do you desire him? Listen what happened to our merchant man. We're told in verse 46, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, when he became conscious of the value of that great pearl, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What? Have I got to sell everything I have? Have I got to, let's put it into concrete terms, have I got to sell up and go and live in some kind of commune? Have I got to live in poverty or enter some kind of monastery or abbey and live a life separated with nothing? Oh no. No, it doesn't mean that. We still have our lives to live in this world, but we have to be prepared to give up all other hopes, all other trusts, and see them as nothing by comparison to possessing Christ. Are there friends, young people, are there friends at school who, if they were to know that you were serious about seeking the Lord, about having your sins forgiven, would laugh at you? You might have to give up some of those friends. You might have to be prepared to let them go for a season at least, to have Christ and to have his salvation. Oh, if it pleases him, he may even win some of them to himself through you being prepared to give them up to have Christ. All that trust in the empty things of this world, I've got to be prepared to lay it aside, because I must have Christ and I must have him alone. How serious are we about seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ, prepared to give up all other trust, all other hope? I'm prepared to give up my belief that I am in any sense righteous in myself, or that I have any goodness in my own character, or my imagined goodness. Well, I see it now. It's empty. It's hollow at best. It's offensive. It's against God at worst, because it imagines that I can please him, a sinner, by my own works. I can't do it. And so I lay aside all other hopes other than in Jesus Christ. But I wonder, as you've read this parable, certainly when I was younger, there was something in this parable that troubled me, something that confused me, something that didn't quite work. And this was my thinking. How is it that this merchant man sold, and we're told, and it's a very comprehensive term, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. And I imagine this merchant man walking around in rags and tatters because he'd sold his best clothes, homeless because he'd sold up his house, little food, hardly anything to support himself, but carrying this pearl of great price. What good is that pearl to that merchant man? How's he going to live? What does it mean that he would give up all else besides just to possess a pearl? It doesn't work. But you know, every parable, being a picture of a great spiritual reality, cannot fully describe and explain everything that takes place. And here is a point where actually to begin to consider in closer detail the spiritual reality that is being described here, we see exactly how this would work when applied to ourselves. You see, to have the Lord Jesus Christ is to have everything. Is to have everything. If for you, the pearl that you've been seeking of an upright moral life, I'm not going to seek that. I want Christ. I want him alone. The goodly pearl, peace in my conscience, the forgiveness of my sins. Yes, these are great things. But even if transcending that, you say, I must have Christ. Oh, I know I stand condemned by him. And even if he should condemn me, to have him, I must have him. And I must have him above all else. But to have Jesus Christ gives us everything else besides. When you get the Lord Jesus Christ, you get the forgiveness of your sins. It's an amazing thing because he hung and suffered for all who come to him and depend entirely upon him. To have Jesus Christ is to know peace in the conscience. To have Jesus Christ is to be certain that the end of this life, I'm going to be with him in the heavenly glories. Those goodly pearls, good things in and of themselves, valuable things. If I have Christ, I have those things. But you know, it goes deeper than that. We spoke about the pearl of an upright moral character. Do you know, to have Jesus Christ, to possess him, changes my life. He gives me a new life. He changes my outlook entirely. He makes me desire in a deeper and gives me power by his Spirit to obey him and to want to desire to live that upright and moral life. And what I couldn't do before, because of him indwelling me, because of the change of character wrought within me, amazingly, these new desires after an upright moral life, because I have a new character. I wanted to be a blessing to others, perhaps. Well, to have Jesus Christ, I can now be the greatest blessing of all to others. as I tell them of the love of the Saviour and urge them too to seek after him and to desire him. I desired to have a religious outlook or to have Jesus Christ. I don't have merely religion for its own sake, but I have real, true religion that brings me into a relationship with my God. Oh, to have Jesus Christ fulfills each and every one of the aspirations of which we've considered. But you know, it goes deeper yet. Because to have Jesus Christ really is to have everything. And Jesus Christ, our Saviour, our Lord, enters into every part of our experience. We spent our lives away from him, seeking peace and satisfaction in the things of this world. But you know what he gives us? He gives us peace and satisfaction and contentment in all, even the material blessings that we have. But you know, it goes deeper. Because even if all my comforts were taken from me, if I were to lose my job, to lose loved ones, suffer many disappointments, perhaps no poverty, pain and illness, to have Jesus Christ gives me a joy and a peace in my heart that nothing else comes close even to touching. Oh, that's what is trying to be pictured here. The merchant man went and sold all that he had. All he has now is a pearl. Can I say this? All we possess is Jesus Christ. He becomes central to everything in our lives. Ah, but to have him is to have absolutely everything that we could possibly need. Two brief comments as we finish. Pearls today, to many people, seem very old-fashioned. As I look around, I can't see. I don't think any who are wearing pearls. And they become somewhat devalued in our day. And people look upon them as extremely old-fashioned. If you're wearing pearls, you know, you're not exhibiting, showing the current fashion. And there are some who, as they look upon this message that says Jesus Christ is the pearl of great price, the one thing needful, the one thing that we must seek and desire to have, is old-fashioned. It was written 2,000 years ago. What relevance does it have for our day? And like pearls, there's so much that is artificial. So much in religion that is a sham. And people say to us, there's so much hypocrisy in the church. There's so much that is ridiculous. There's so much that isn't real. How can I be sure that this message that puts Jesus Christ at the forefront of everything is true and is genuine? Or if you think that, then I can only apologize that I can't find words powerful enough to show you something of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, his loveliness and all that he has done. If you could only see him, if you only have an encounter with him, you'll see how wonderful he is. He is the most relevant, the most important thing in our day as ever he was. And lastly, look again at verse 46. Speaking of the merchant man who, when he had found one pearl of great price, listen to this word, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Did he put it off? Did he delay? Did he say, this looks interesting, I'll consider this, and maybe at a later date I'll do something about it? No, he went. And he went immediately. And my last word to you this morning is, if you know that you need the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've seen through the way you've lived your life up until this point, if you've been described by any of those earlier traders seeking worthless things, seeking things of value but not really the chief thing, seeking even the forgiveness of your sins but not seeking Christ, if you've seen that you must have Christ, then don't leave it another moment. But as you go from here this morning, find somewhere quiet at home and fall on your knees and pour out your heart to your God and tell him that you need Christ. You must have Christ. Yield yourself to him. And as you confess your sins, trusting in what Christ has done, yielding over control of your life to him, you will be given the pearl of great price. And with him, you'll have everything that we've sought to describe here this morning. But don't put it off. Don't leave it another moment longer. Don't delay. Go straight away for the pardon, forgiveness, and the blessing of Christ that he alone can give. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, help us, we pray, each one, to have a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, as thou hast revealed thyself in the Word of God. O Lord, we pray that we may see in the beauty and the loveliness of his character, the one to whom we may turn for pardon and forgiveness, for new life. We pray that as we consider his death upon the cross and his resurrection victorious over sin, over death, and over the enemy of our souls, that we may depend entirely upon him and look to him alone. We pray that every one of us would possess him, whom to know is life eternal. For these things we ask in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.